say it often here at Cornerstone, and we're just going to say it again this morning. Let's not look at the our work of worship as separate now from hearing the word. Let's not put what we just had in a room and walk into another one for the word. Let's not do that. Let's stay in his presence and his attitude of worship and attitude of his greatness, beholding it, dwelling on it as we prepare for the word this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers, they're already prepared. Would you take a moment to prepare for tithes and offerings or worship through our giving this morning? Thank you for all of you who give online every week too and just make that a consistent part of your giving. We just so appreciate the consistency that that brings as we continue to serve the Lord. And if you're a guest with us this morning, you're not obligated to give, but just as the Lord fills your heart to do so, and for our Cornerstone family to continue to give with joyful generosity and obedience this morning. We're having an interesting problem on Sunday mornings, and that is we're just so enjoying his presence. It's hard to manage the different parts of being the family that come together once a week, like announcements and things like that, but I think what we'll do, if you'll be a little flexible with me this morning, we're going to save the announcement video for the end of service as we get ready to go. And we'll just use that as our direction to go. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and I'll just make a few comments to prepare us for the word and our speaker this morning as you give. But let's thank the Lord for this opportunity to give. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for your love for us. And Lord, we want to continue to live out the victory of your goodness and saving power in our lives, Lord, through our finances, through what we trust in, through any sense of what this world says is security. So we give you our first fruits and our very best, and we thank you for this. We ask that it would go for your glory and honor with great integrity and wisdom. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Ushers, thank you. You'll notice in your bulletin that we are preparing to have a week with Jay LaRue, and he is a special part of our church family, as he is one of those who kind of fathers over our church in prayer all year long. And we're so grateful to have him, and Linda will be in next service. You'll see we have services tomorrow night and Tuesday night. For those of you who would like to come, and you'll notice the childcare details in your bulletin for those evenings. We've been talking about resolve and the issue of walking in the promised lands of life and facing the giants that want to keep us from the peace and the victory and the purposes that God has for our lives. I mentioned last week that we can't expect to live in the promised land without the gifts of the Spirit and the miracles of God, because the very calling of God in your life is so much more than you can do. And yet, God is planning to reveal his greatness through your resolve to walk in the promised land. The way we see he's great is by the miracles and the works that he does in us and also through us. And so I can't think of a better way to finish this series and to really set us on the right course for the year than to have Jay LaRue with us. He is one who stirs up faith in who he is, and he is one that really models for us the spiritual gifts. And you may see this morning him work in a gift of prophecy or begin to share the word of the Lord with a few people. And all those things are part of what God brings to us, that we might walk in places that have giants that are way too big and too much for us. And yet God said, I want to reveal who I am by your obedience and walking in that place. And so I want to encourage you just to open up your heart. And as he does that, we're just going to receive and prepare as Jay speaks in the service and then prepares. He's going to, all the men, and you can, men, if you haven't signed up and paid, you can still sign up and pay today. We're going to spend next weekend with a men's advance with them. So would you welcome Jay LaRue as he comes and shares the word of the Lord this morning.
Well, I certainly appreciate, am I good with my voice is a little more banging than Pastor Sean's. Sorry about that. I am extremely honored to even hear his words this morning in regards to our relationship. I consider it an extreme honor by the Lord graciously and humbly for us to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. I love it. I look forward to it. My sad day is the day that we leave. My happy day is the day that we come. In between, I just do other things. I stay pretty much feliz. I just came back from Central America, sorry. That's about the extent of my Spanish. You just got it. And after hours of coaching me through that one word. Those poor folks, I think they're tired when I leave. It's like I can't come more than once every 2 years. They're exhausted. How about this morning for our worship team and our choir? Was this excellent or what? Can we please? This morning, I want to spend a few minutes because I want to move around the room a little bit in the Word. I'm never bothered by time. It doesn't affect me because the closer you get to the eternal one, you realize time is just a portion of our life and a part of our life. So I don't have any problem with that clock back there, even though I'm commanding time to stand still and I notice it hasn't. But I do want to share some word. I want to say this, though, for our men. This week, I'm going to continue our theme on resolve this morning with God's resolve of a particular day and a particular time. And I'm looking forward to Monday and Tuesday. Thankfully, Pastor Sean is an athlete and we're not having church tonight. I have been at some other places and I said to the pastor, we're having church tonight? Yeah, we can't wait to hear you preach. I said, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And he said, we don't ever think about that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Good thing I got my TV at a glance thing here going. But I want to say this. Please do not miss tomorrow night and Tuesday night if you can make it. But I want to say this more to my brothers. We were together 2 years ago, and I'm still marked by that time. It was an amazing time for the hungry, the thirsty, and the ones who came just uncertain about what they would see. It was just amazing. We are not going backwards. We are certainly going to move forward. But we are going to move from resolve to revolution. We're making decisions, and you have since the beginning of January. He keeps in contact with me, as the pastors do, and I get the same tidbit emails to mine, and I love listening to them, watching them, and hearing Pastor Travis do his videos. I like it. You know, this man's got style, if you noticed. Yeah. But I'm looking for a revolution. Not a rebellion, not a revolt, but a revolution, revolving back to his original intention. And so next weekend, we're going there, my brothers. Please make the time. Let's get together and let us decide on where our families will go. Let us decide on where our church will go. Let us decide on where our state will go. Let us decide on where our country's going. Let us decide on where our world is going. Let us decide on where the generations are going. And we're only going in one direction. Up. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to go to the history portion. I want to speak from it, though, and I want to say a few things to us out of this one verse. And please, because of time, pick up the next service's CD. Usually first service I have to carry around the room. This one's cranked. Excuse my language wearing a tie, but it is. I like it. It's jet in here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Are you there? We'll so enjoy hearing pages turned. When I'm on the West Coast, this is what I hear. I want to say, I know half of you are texting, and I could point out the ones who are, and the other ones are looking for their Bible software. I like in the South, we still actually have pages. I like it. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for, as you know already, the great honor it is for Linda and I to be a part of Cornerstone. Beginning with our dear friend and a lover of our soul for sure, Pastor Wayne, the doctor, man, Carey and Diane, and now with Pastor Sean, his family, this awesome pastoral staff. We're believing for great things. We have decided in 2014 to resolve. We're making a decision. We're choosing. Let us have the strength and the boldness and the fearlessness to move forward with you. Great anticipation on what you might be willing to do. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There would never be a day, I don't want to spend time in Genesis 6, I will later. The earth is filled with violence. Every man is doing evil in his heart continually. Flesh has corrupted itself upon the earth, and the sound of it comes up to the Lord. He is about to make resolve. He will change the direction of the world. What does he do when he is wanting to change the world's direction? He's looking for a man. I believe he's doing the very same thing now. Us individually, us corporately, a man. He will find one. His name is Noah. Noah's name means grace. Noah will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a beautiful thing this morning. All of us have found grace in his eyes. He always looks for someone in the earth that will identify with him and his heart and his passion. Someone in the earth that will be willing to believe that there is something yet in heaven he wants to do in the earth. Noah has no idea. He's the first one of a kind of person that God will always look for in every generation. It is Noah. And he says to Noah, I've seen what the world has become. I'm going to bring an end to flesh. Of course, it'll be a flood. But I love the promise, and I love that pastor has been sharing out of Moses' life the last couple of weeks here. Because he said to Noah, I'll never flood the earth again. But what he said to Noah was, I'll never flood the earth again. But what he said to Moses was this: the whole earth will be filled with my glory. That's always been his intent. They are synonymous. One is natural, one is spiritual. A flood was a natural water system that ended flesh. But I will tell you, the only answer to corrupt flesh is the glory of God. It is the answer. We have got to have it. I've already resolved years ago in my life, I will not live without it. I know what it looks like. I know what it's supposed to do. It is a person. It's such manifestation. You can't deny him, even if you deny him. Let me begin in the 7th verse and just touch on a few things with you. We've always got to view the old from the lens of the new. And the Hebrew writer begins with this man. He is the first man that will have a vision of a heavenly object to be built in the earth, and the building of it will change the world. The next will be the tabernacle of Moses. Next will be Solomon's temple, preceded by David's tabernacle. Ezekiel's temple will follow that. And of course, the greatest building that ever came into the earth was the bread that came down from heaven, a house of flesh with divinity stored in it. That dimension of God will change the world's history. He's always wanting to build something that is his dream, heavenly, in the earth. He's always looking for a man that will be willing to stand in his day and believe and build. By faith, Noah, please don't get shaken by the word faith. Here it is in a nutshell. Do what you know you need to do. Be who you know you need to be. Trust, believe, obey. It's all included. By faith, Noah. First, King James says, being warned of God of things that have not yet appeared. Poorly translated, this whole verse. The King James loves to get that Clint Eastwood kind of thing going. Hey, hey, hey. Here's what it really means. By faith, Noah, being divinely taught of things that have not yet appeared. This is what I love about our God. I didn't realize it when I got born again. Now, 35 years ago, I had no idea until I was into my salvation walk for some time that he looks in every generation desiring to divinely teach anyone who'll look up, anyone who'll long for him, anyone, Pastor Rem, he wants to divinely teach us about things that have not yet appeared. See, I live with that amp. I want you to live with it. I'm looking for that. I don't care what history has brought. I learn from history. He's not wanting to repeat history. Oh, no, he never has. He's always been progressive, always. I don't care what this world says was, is, or isn't going to be. I don't live by this standard. We're here as sojourners and pilgrims. We're here to give our lives for this world. We're here to be salt and light, but I'm not living by what's dictated out there. I'm living solely by what he is declaring. What he has declared is and will. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, divinely taught of things that not yet appeared. Second, the King James says he moved with fear. Here's the real translation. He stood in awe of what God was declaring. See, I love this about the New Testament, the understanding about the fear of the Lord and fear in general. It was never to be afraid. Are you kidding me? He's delivered us from fear. What he's wanting is that you and I stand in awe of his word. We stand in awe when it's declared, and when he speaks, we are awed by him. I want us to be a people again. He's longing for that we stand on. Oh, I appreciate great athletes. I'll appreciate tonight's great. I appreciate men who have great standard movies. I have no problem with Hollywood. I'm not anti-anything, but I'm not awed by them. You know why? Because I've met the awesome one. Yeah, yeah. He's awesome. And I remain awed by him. I live awed by him. Two, he stood awed by what God was declaring. He had never heard it before. Three, he prepared. What a word. We know that he prepared the ark. I have no time to touch it. I will in the next service. We've got to see it because he's building the ark in you and I. Its dimensions are very specific. And so there's something that he's building in us because it has a purpose. He's the awesome builder. We are all builders, some master builders, some builders of our own lives only, some of our families, some of this church, their city here, the builders and the people God has brought to build the house. But he's the ultimate builder. Noah prepared. It is a word that is used in reference to a builder. We know he gathered gopher wood and pitch. I've been in Home Depot many times walking around. I love those folks. Can I help you? Yeah, when I'm bored. Linda's in there looking for some lamp. Yeah, I was looking for gopher wood. Do you have any? I'm sorry, what? Gopher wood. You want me to go for something? No, no, gopher wood. You know, gopher wood. Do you have any? I'm sorry, I'm lost. I'm understanding. Well, that's what I'm... You know, Noah built the ark with gopher wood. I was just wondering if you had any. I see pine and oak and, you know. Then I finally just say, I'm just teasing you. What's your name? Sam, nice to meet you. But see, I didn't realize it, though, that this morning what's happening is you're gathering. I'm not on. It's all my voice. Are we all right? Am I too loud, too soft, too everything? It's near my mouth. He prepared. You see, this morning what's happening is you're getting building materials. That's why I log on to what he sends me, because he's building here and I'm getting building materials. I love that. When I spend some time in his presence, I'm getting building materials. When I do devotionals, I'm getting building materials. When we come to prayer meeting, I'm getting building materials. I used to go to, the years I pastored, come to the worship practice. You know why? To hear the songs, I was getting building materials. He prepared. I thought prayer and reading my Bible was just something I had to do as a Christian. Oh, no. I thought loving my neighbor was something. Oh, no. I thought prayer. No, no, no. Every time we make a move in his direction to walk in his way, we are gathering building materials because he's building something in us. For Noah, it was the ark. For you and I, it is an ark internal. He's building something in here. What did the ark do? And then I want to stop. Because he's building something in us for purpose. That's why I want us, and I love our theme, to resolve. I'm making a decision. I am going to be a man that looks for him to divinely teach me. I'm going to sit here Sunday morning every day of my life listening to him out of his mouth, their mouth. I'm looking for him to teach me. He's doing it. Even when I'm not looking, he's doing it. Even when he's not speaking, he's doing it. And I'm going to stand in awe of it. I don't care if it's corrective. You need to walk in love, Jay. You need to forgive. You need this or that. Fine, I don't care. I'm just in awe of what you're saying. I love this Bible. I stand in awe of that book. Preparing. Why? First thing it did was it brought salvation to his family. See, my brothers, that's why I don't want you to miss the men's meeting. The Lord will do something. I guarantee it. In our lives that will cause salvation to come to our family in dimensions that we only could dream of, even in our own lives, to bring a fullness of it, to bring a fullness of God's salvation. But what Noah did when he built that ark was his daughters, his daughters-in-law, his son, and his wife all went in. He was the eighth man to get in that ark. That's what the New Testament tells us. I love this about that because it's a number for new beginning. He's beginning something that we've never seen. Every one of us this morning got to believe that God's doing something in us. Yo, he has never done before. That's right. That's right. As great as the history is in this church, he's doing something right now with him and them that he's never done before. It's a new day, a new beginning, not just because it's 2014. And it also condemned the world. Bad translation again by the King James. What it is this. When he built it, when the world looked at it, it caused them to see that their life was going in the wrong direction. See, I do a lot of speaking, and I have a big mouth, and I talked my whole life, so this couldn't have been a better thing for me to do. Ask any of my teachers. Jay does not stop talking. I have to be disciplined now more than ever. But I thought it was my voice that would cause my children to come. I thought it was my voice that would cause my friends to come. I thought it was my voice that would really be the thing that Linda would realize what a godly man I was. Yes, we knew to speak, we do. But I love Peter's word about Noah, and I'm done. And he says this about Noah, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's funny. 100 years to build the ark, and he says nothing, not one word recorded. Well, then how can you be a preacher of righteousness and not speak? I'll tell you, because it's what he's building in us that has the greater voice than this voice. I want everybody I meet to be affected by him. I was going to get tattooed on my forehead, John 3:16. I thought with this size forehead that would work. Now my forehead goes all the way back to the back of my neck. I could have right there. Philippians 3, 8, 9, and 10 could go right there. That would be, I think that would get people's attention. Yeah, it would. But I realize he wants to build his likeness, his character. He wants to build something in us that'll bring a flood to the earth again. And the hope of the end of the violence that's increasing in our world is, yes, we need great armies, we need great things, but the answer to it is a people who are so amped about him, so looking to him, that'll walk by faith, looking for him to divinely teach them, looking for him to speak, and they would be in awe of his word, and that they would every day of their life prepare, not waste a minute. Doesn't mean you don't have fun. I love life. It doesn't mean you don't watch the game, but there's something in me that beats to know him. I'm gathering building material, because why? He's building something that'll shake the world. You've got to know that the Lord is freshly meeting with you. I love this about you, my brother. Let me say this before I speak to you individually. But God is setting a new spirit and a new standard upon both of your lives to touch a generation that is and is coming and is yet to be. Three generations back, your hair will be gray, my brother. She'll color, but yours will be gray. Grayer. And still the young generation you will pour into, because the Lord has declared it to be so. And even when you two were younger, the enemy tried to work to bring you both to a place that you would never know each other. But the Lord put many roadblocks in both of your lives that he would work you to each other, because he had a plan from the beginning of time. And my brother, the Lord in this time is going to strengthen you. I love this about you. You're born to be a teacher, because just the way you think, the way you look, the way you operate. Even though the garment of the shepherd, the Lord will allow you to wear, but it is the strength of a teacher. You just see everything like a builder does. You see everything in bricks, how it's laid, how it's organized. That's just how you work. You would never set a window without setting the floor. You're just that way. And the Lord has so worked it within you that you'll take time to build. And it isn't so much the time of how when it gets finished, but it's how it's done. And he's going to continue this excellence within you. It doesn't mean you're not pliable. You are. But there's a standard that you have. And sometimes you're rigid. Sometimes you're tight. It's got to be this way or no way. It's just the way you're built. And the Lord is bringing flexibility to that. But he's put it within you with a shepherd's garment, but the builder's hand. Much like Ezra, you'll stand in this day with the young people, and you'll cause them to be a lover of his word. You'll cause them to be a lover of his law. And that's how it'll be. He's worked it within you. Even though you stand tall, my friend, the young people will always look at you as though you're looking at them eye to eye. That's the spirit the Lord's put within you. And my sister, God has so given you this prophetic sight. Though you're not given so much to prophecy, though tendency you do at times, but what he's done is he's caused you to have the eye to be able to see what is yet to be, the eye to know what will come, and the Lord will increase this so that you will be able to speak and declare things hidden. And your love for the scriptures, the Lord is going to increase. That's why I brought the two of you together. You see, in Moses' tabernacle, Moses had the dream from the mountain, but it was Bezalel that was the builder. And the Lord has done this very same thing with you. She will have the vision for what the generation will look like and what it'll be. And she will have the fire and the passion, but you'll be the container of the flame, the container of the fire. And you'll be much like the banks of the river that she will create amongst the young people that will give it direction. And I want you to know, and I want everybody to hear, that's why I wanted to speak it in this place, is God is intending to raise up generation after generation here, much as even like there was Wayne, and now there's Sean, and then there's Brandon, and now there's this going all the way down. He intends to continue this like a linked chain, much like a Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and continue to increase his promises in this place. This is the beginning of the hand of the Lord upon the two of you in dimensions that you have not known. Though there's been a church in your life and you've gone with three generations of believers have come down, you're standing in a day that they have not seen before. And even as darkness seems to creep up on the church, young lady, the Lord will cause the flame in your heart to grow and an increase. And he's even now releasing a fresh oil in both of your lives to strengthen you for the journey. Do not look at the journey ending or a particular way it's directing or a particular place it should go. Do not look at that. Look at him, because he has set your course. You will not have to worry about its finality or its ending or its turns or its lefts or its rights. He has already ordered it. He has set its path, and he will cause you to find the right way every direction, every decade. You will not have to fear about missing the Lord or missing his time frame, but he will keep it sure. This is the beginning of the visitation of the Lord. Most young ladies at your age would think, well, maybe I should be stepping back and maybe I should let some of the younger ladies step into my place. And if you decide to do that, that's something the Lord will honor. But I want you to know, too, and I'm going to say some things to these other guys as probably in the second service we'll just see. But the Lord is coming to visit this place in a great way, and he's come to strengthen your heart. You've always been a woman who loved to see people delivered and to see the delivering power of God. That has been your passion. You love the word and you love the organization. You love the worship. But it is to see the chains broken and to see the delivering power of God. And you will see the Lord revisit this place within your deep within your heart. It was really in your late 20s that the Lord began to cause you to understand the power of his deliverance. It was at 27, 28, just when you turned over those years, that's when he visited you. And he's returned to revisit it again. Because during this time, he's caused you to be a woman of order and a woman of straightness and a woman of continual or of building and building blocks, and he set a house, sure, as he's done with you. And he's been faithful to the house, but he's returning for you to believe once again for the power of his deliverance and the power of his strength and the power of his ability to set the captive free. And he will begin to cause your heart to expand to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Believe it, sister. You think you've walked in a faith, you have yet to see the power and strength of God that he will do. And he is going to cause some of the younger women. You're a relational woman, but not everybody gets close to you because the younger women are uncertain. They're just not sure. They don't really know the direction, but there's going to come a fresh boldness upon you. Everything I've said to these two run through him, of course. He knows this. I'm just saying it for the rest of us. But there's going to come a new doorway where the younger women are going to draw close to you. Because the Lord is going to want to share this. Much like Miriam in the day of the deliverance, the women will come together and she will begin to proclaim the song of Moses and the delivering power of God and the greatness of God. It'll be Miriam and the women will gather around her. Much like that, it'll be as Miriam's day when they came out, and the Lord will cause the women to join around you to believe that the power of God to deliver has returned to the house of the Lord. I'm just telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. You watch and see. God is moving in this place in another level of power to deliver. I'm saying this to her, but I want to say this to the church. I want us to hear it. This is a day to not be afraid to ask the halt, the lame, the broken, and those that cannot walk back to the house of the Lord, because he has declared that his power shall be, and he will work deliverance, power to heal, and he will cause the miraculous to return. Amen? Beautiful. How are we all doing? Good? Great. Is this your family, my brother? Girlfriend, and who are these people? They're nobody? They just sat there? They're not related to you? All right. Well, this is your girlfriend, so I'm not going to say anything between the two of you. You have to make that decision. But the Lord has determined that he is going to begin to visit your family. If she becomes a part of it, then that's between the two of you. But I'm certainly not going to say anything yay or nay to that. I just don't, and I wouldn't. But God has really determined that it is a day of visitation is coming to your home, to you first. And the Lord is coming in a way to cause your heart to beat for him. You've been through a rough road, my brother. The last 10 years have been full of bumps, broken places, burned out bridges, and broken relationships. And I love this about men, and you're no different. And I'm not saying this to embarrass any of us as men, but only a guy can have a broken heart but walk with as if it is whole. But I know the Lord is so gracious. I've known it in my own life, and it's taken me a long time to be honest with him, even though he's very honest with us. Never to embarrass us. He wouldn't do that. But the Lord is returning to mend your heart that has been broken because of the separation of family and the hurtfulness of words that have been shared, even with you. We all do it back and forth, but the words have hurt you and the things that have been said have hurt you. And the Lord is beginning with you. It's amazing that the issue with Noah is the Lord started with Noah. I don't know what his children said. 100 years he's building something that no one's ever seen before. That's a long time to be faithful, 100 years. For most of us, a decade is tough. 100 years, he doesn't get into the ark till he's 600. But the thing is, there's something inside of Noah that he knew he was doing this for his family. Man, I want that inside of me. I want that inside of all of us. And my brother, God's returning to your heart and your life first to see things in your family change. Some things he's going to reconcile all things, but he's going to redeem all things, but not all things will be reconciled. It doesn't mean every bridge will be built. Some you're going to have to build back again and make things right. But he will work with you. But he's come this day to begin to make your heart whole, that it beats. A whole heart doesn't mean it forgets everything. A whole heart remembers everything. But it has hope in what God just might be willing to do. And this is the day of hope for you, my friend. The Lord, in coming to you and drawing near to your heart, is going to cause a hope to arise and a hope to beat fresh, as you might know that he is a great God. He is your God. He is not angry about the past. He knows everything that's gone on. I'm certainly not going to say it. It doesn't need to be said, but he knows all that's happened. All. And he has not changed one moment of feeling toward you or them. He is in love with both. But he's beginning something with you. What an honor to return to your life and to your home to begin the reconciliation, the restoration of your family. My young friend there, I guess you're visiting, and I don't know who that is next to you. No, this you. Him. Okay, I'm talking to this young man right here. Yeah, him. How you doing? Yeah, you cool? What's his name? Reed. Reed, sweet buddy. Nice to meet you. Give me a little here. Good. Reed, listen, you just have to know this may all be new to you, and this whole thing might be kind of strange, but you got to know that our God super amped about you. And this is just the beginning, my friend, because really the Lord is visiting your life. Even as young as you are, things have not been easy for you. Some of us grew up in homes. Our father could be in our homes and yet never influence us. At some times, influence poorly. Sometimes we have no father, and even him not being there influences us poorly. And my friend, please know that this God who longs to be father to all and father to the fatherless, even fathers to the sons who have had fathers that weren't right, he longs to be a father to us all. He is not like any other father, any other man. And my friend, the Lord has begun to draw near to you to let you know of a father's love for you and a father's love for your life. And I always want to say this to you, and I'm saying it very carefully, but without any question. You choose him, and he will reset the course of your life. You're one time a dreamer. When you were young, there was a lot that you desired to do. It's amazing what teenage years can do to all of us. They sometimes could be the most difficult years. They're the years, certainly in my own life, that were my worst years of my entire life. Because I was fortunate, he came to me when I was 22 years old. But those teenagers were rough. Rough on me, and I was rough on other people. But the Lord was so gracious that at 22, came to me as well. And I couldn't help but to say yes to him. I had no idea I'd be doing this. It didn't matter. The love and the passion he had for me. I thought it was not possible that anyone could love me like that. And I want you to know, he's just drawn near to let you know that his heart is for you. You trust him. He won't take away from your life. But he will add to it, and he will set a direction that will cause your life to be more successful than you could ever make it yourself. I wanted to get my hands on everything. I only knew if I could turn it, if I could do it, if I could get it, And the more I tried to get a hold of it, the more it slipped away. It wasn't until he came in that I really had a grip on life. Why is he doing it? It's simply his choice. He's the one who's decided that you have been worth it all. Stand with me, please. I'll pray and then I'll give it to you. The Lord resolved, he made a decision that it's not going to be this way any longer. I believe he's made that decision in our generation. It's not to continue any longer. He's found a man. It's us. We have found grace in his eyes. This morning, please choose him. Choose him. and let him begin to build in us what will cause the world to behold who he is. Father, I thank you this morning for the beauty and the splendor of your life. Lord, we stand in awe of the written word and the living word. Awe us. Awe us. Give us the strength to arise and to believe, even in a day as we live in. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Little word.
You can see why we don't just invite Jay to a Sunday morning. There's so many times there's such an important gift of the word of the Lord to come, and we need to make space for that. So again, we're going to have Monday night, Tuesday night. All the men, we want to invite you to share the weekend with us, because we really want you as men to have a word of the Lord going forward. And so just want to encourage you to do that. Thank you, Jay, for that word. What a great word. We don't often do a special offering as a part of services, but we wanted to take a moment to do a special offering to be part of going towards Jay, not only sharing this weekend with us, but he's also here next weekend as well with the men's advance. And so Jay's always gracious about giving us first dibs in his schedule, but we have to fight pretty hard to find a spot where he's available. And so if you would be led to share a gift towards blessing him, that would be great. And I also want to encourage you, if you would be, if the Lord would put on your heart to be part of scholarshipping another man to go on the men's advance, we'd love for you to give as part of the offering there. So in the memo line, if you're doing check, you could just put, or if you just got the offering envelopes there, if you want to do cash, just if you want to say, you know, just put Jay on it if it's towards him, or if you want to put it towards the men's advance, just put men's advance on that. And this is a little weird to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Credit card wise, you can do it out in the resource center if you want to sponsor a guy, you can give there. And so we just want to make sure that if it's in your heart to do, you can do. So you can go to the resource center and give that way if you want as well. But I just want to invite you to, as the Lord leads, be part of giving. So if you prepare for that, ushers, if you would prepare for this. And we're going to take a moment, and as the offering is being taken, we're just going to watch our announcement video so we have a sense of some of the details of what God is doing among us. And then we'll dismiss to our life groups and to all the other pieces. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this special offering, and that, Lord, those that you long to use for the men's advance, those that are to be part of blessing Jay, we just ask that you would, Lord, just lead with a great joy and generosity in that, Lord. And we also ask that you would help us to continue, as we spoke of last week, go forward together. So guide us in this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.